could do it.
Hey guys, my name is Joe Flesh. You've joined us for the Hobby Heroes podcast episode. Ryan, what episode are we on?
26.
26. Hot damn, look at that. One of us was ready and it wasn't me.
Was that right?
I have no idea. Okay. Episode ? That's where we're at. And I'm not going to look it up tonight, so we're just going to fly it. This evening, we are talking about Gaslands from Osprey Games Publishing over in the UK, I believe. So, recently the game's really taken off. Like, I did a little short about this, I don't know, a month or so ago, where I talked about I've been seeing a lot of it, and so, you know, I picked up the rule book, we got a game or two in, we really liked it, so now we're playing it. So this month, we're going to go over Gaslands, basically. So, Ryan, what's the overview of Gaslands? Like, just short synopsis.
Yeah, so it is a post-apocalyptic racing game, like, you know, death race type steel, you know. So it's a mix, like I said, between Mad Max and the death race. And if you death race came out not too long ago, it was all right. If you haven't seen, like, the 1970s death race with Sylvester Stallone and David Carradine, you got to go back and see it. It is amazing. Sorry, I just had to go off on a little tangent there.
No, absolutely. But that is B-movie fantastic right there.
Yeah, it's just a death racing game. You know, you're trying to win a race. You're shooting machine guns. You know, that's it. Pretty simple.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, I mean, you know, it's almost kind of like Frostgrave and Necromunda and all these other team games. So you pick a points value. The base game says go with 50 points. In this game, you go by gas can, so it's 50 cans. You build your little team of race cars. If you're doing the full rules, you get to pick a sponsor, which we'll talk about later. And then you do a bunch of different scenarios, and you earn points and buy bigger cars and more guns and just kill each other. It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, I agree. It's super simple, and you just get in and get playing it.
Yeah. So one of the things that is really appealing about the game, the price point, the buy-in. So Mike Hutchinson wrote the rules, and Osprey Games published them. You can get a softback rulebook from them for $19 US. You can buy the PDF like you can most of Osprey's stuff, and that's, I think, $15 US. So $20 for a rulebook, and then you walk into, I was going to say your local Toys R Us, but
not anymore.
You go into
pretty much every other store, though.
Yeah, right. Like, even grocery stores usually have a small toy section with some Hot Wheels cars. Yeah. So, you know, $20 for a book and $5 gets you like 5 cars, and you are literally off to the races.
Yeah, it is a minimum buy-in for this game. Because, I mean, they pretty much give you, we'll go into it later, it does require some templates, but that comes with the book. You just photocopy it, cut them out. I mean, you got everything you need, so $25 basically gets you into this game.
Yeah, it's pretty great. The templates in the back, they are a paper. They say, you know, copy them. Copy them onto some good cardstock, cut them out, cut out some extra shapes of cereal box and glue them together to give them some rigidity. And, yeah, you are off and running. It's pretty awesome, like the self-containedness of it. The game is a little bit like Star Wars X-Wing and or Wings of War, Wings of Glory, however you want to look at it like that. Also, there's what, like Star Trek Attack Wing, D&D Attack Wing. There's a ton of people using that license, but it's kind of like those in that there's maneuver templates, like Ryan said. And every turn you're going to pick a template, you're going to put it directly in front of your car, and that's where your car is going to move. After you move, you shoot. After you shoot, you check to see if you flip your car over, if anyone flips their car over. And then it goes on to the next person, the next person, the next person, the next person. So whoop-dee-dee, that's the game. Yeah, it's pretty good. So let's go ahead and just run through. We're going to run through the game because it's really not going to take us very long. Ryan, you want to start us off there with the pole position?
Yeah, pole position is just who goes first. So different scenarios have different ways of determining it. But Basically, you determine who has the pole position. That person then generally sets up first and then goes first. So all cars start in first gear. They then choose a maneuver template and place it in front of their car and then roll a set of dice called skid dice. Now, these are special dice that have different things on them, which we'll go over, but there is a chart in the book that you can just use normal D6. Now, there are people out there that sell these dice. If you have a buddy like we do, Dave, he has a 3D printer. He can print you some dice. But if you don't do that and you just want to try it out, the book has a chart. Use the D6s. Get going. So you touch a template, and that's a template you got to use. If it runs you into the back of a car into an obstacle,
tough luck.
Sorry, Charlie. Yeah. So you place it in front of your car, then roll the skid dice if you want. There is no rule that states that you have to roll any of your skid dice. You can roll minimum zero up to your handling value. Now, each car is different. Like a pickup truck is only handling two, whereas a buggy and a performance car is handling of four, and then anywhere in between. The reason you would want to roll dice is there are different results that you can get. On the dice, there are three sides of it are what's called shift results. Shift results are pretty much your catch-all. It lets you go up a gear, lets you go down a gear, and then I'll talk about hazards here in a minute. It lets you get rid of hazards. Your other option is just a hazard side of the dice, which gives you a hazard. The second one is a spin result, which lets you turn your car 90 degrees. And then there is a slide, which each template has kind of a little arrow slot put into it, which you put in an additional template. And so if you're going to make a turn, you get a slide, you kind of spin out and go out the side of the turn. Now, talking about hazards is different maneuvers like the shifting up and down, hitting obstacles, doing the spin or the slide. Those all give you hazard tokens. You can use your shifts to get down or to get rid of those. But if you ever get six, you then wipe out. Once you wipe out, you then got to make checks to see if you flip, you can take damage, blah, blah, blah. And so it you can't just go balls out the whole time. You got to use some strategy. You can't just slap her in fifth gear and go. You sometimes got to go down, go up, depending on what you need to do, because based on the gear you're in, determines what kind of templates you have access to, on how hard of a turn, how fast of a straight you can go, things like that. Anything you want to add?
No, it pretty much covers it. All right, so yeah, once you're done with your moving and your sliding and your spinning and your wrecking and all that, you know, all that jazz, once you've moved your car, we move on to the attack phase, where if your car has weapons, there are some people that just won't run weapons. Cars are really expensive sometimes. Monster trucks and buses pretty much take up all your cans, so sometimes you're just trying to run over people. But if you have guns and you have crew that can fire them, you can choose to shoot people. So every car has a crew member assignment. So like buggies and regular cars have two people, race cars, performance cars have one, buses have eight. So everybody in your car has a pistol, and the pistol shoots at short range, which is about 4 inches, I think. And for every person shooting, you get a roll of D6. And this kind of rule right here goes with every gun in the game. On a 4+ of your die, it's a hit. If you roll a 6, it counts as 2 hits. It's a critical hit. So the big difference
that's pretty nice, I think, is everything hits on a 4, everything crits on a 6. So you don't have to worry about what certain cars need to hit and what any modifiers.
There's no like chart.
Just keeping it simple.
No chart, yeah. So you take the different guns, and one person is required to fire every gun. Now, if you have more people and you only have one gun, that's great. So let's take, for example, I've got a regular car, and it has a light machine gun, okay? And it has two crew. So on my turn, my one crewman can fire the light machine gun, and then the other guy can shoot his pistol. So I'm getting two shots, 3d6. The thing is that once you buy out of the pistols up into the machine guns and the rockets and things like that, you start extending your range from 4 inches to 6 to 8. So it's a pretty big difference as far as range is concerned. All right, so that's the attack phase. And we'll talk about evading and stuff in a little while here. Or should I talk about it? Should I talk about that now?
Sure. I mean, when you're getting shot, so if he shoots me with this 3d6, and gets two hits, I then get to roll whatever my current gear is. So if I've geared up to gear three, I get to roll three dice to evade it. Any sixes cancel his hits. So not bad. The faster you go, the less likely you already be hit.
But it is, you're going to get hit.
It is still a six. I mean, you still have to roll a six to ignore it.
This game is all about killing you.
But the faster you go, the more dice you get to roll, likelier the chance that you will miss something.
Right. So finally, after the shooting phase, you take your hat, you take your flip check, wipe out check. So if you have six tokens or more, you're going to wipe out. Okay. So wipe out means that you go back down to gear one, you lose all your hazard tokens. And Ryan talked about this earlier. If you get six tokens or more at the end of the phase, you wipe out. But you also make a check to see if you flip over. And the check is you need to roll equal to your gear or higher. And if you don't do that, you flip. And you move like a medium straight forward, which means you could hit other cars. You automatically suffer two damage. The person next to you gets to rotate your car any direction they want, which they get to do even if you wipe out and don't flip. But flip is bad.
Flip is no bueno, and the faster you go, the more likely you are to wipe out.
Yeah, and also, like, collisions when you hit other cars, both players automatically get two hazard tokens. And the thing about wipe out and flip is, at the end of every player's car's activation phase, you take this check. This phase happens. So even though it's my turn, if I hit you and you then get to six tokens, you wipe out at the end of my turn too. You don't get to move that car if it hasn't gone yet. So it's kind of a big deal.
I guess we should get a little bit into like how the game turn works at this point, so that will also say how bad a wipeout is. So every turn is broken up into it's six phases if you go that high. So you'll have turn one, gear phase one. So everyone in gear one gets to move their car if they're in gear one or higher.
Which they will.
And then, right. And so then you have, you know, turn one, gear phase two, everyone in gear two or higher gets to go, and so on to three and four and five. So if you wipe out early and say three, then that car's just stuck there because you just went back down to gear one. So now you got to wait for everyone to get through the remaining phase three, four, five, and possibly six before he even gets to go again. So you do fall behind quite a bit, especially in the race, if you wipe out too early.
Yeah, and this has been the most frustrating part, at least for me. You know, if you have a couple cars, or if you're only playing with one or two cars instead of three or four, it's real easy if you wipe out or pick the wrong template or someone hits you to suddenly both your cars be down in first gear going into gear phase three, and then like Ryan said, you know, you got turn three, turn four, turn five, possibly six, and your cars aren't doing anything, so you're just kind of sitting there. So the game does have a bit of an issue that you could have downtime, and depending on how many players there are, it could be significant. We've been playing with three and four. Our games have been taking roughly an hour and a half to 2 hours.
Three and four players is what you're talking about.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, we're basically taking two cars for three to four players.
Yeah. And our games average hour and a half to 2 hours. So it's just where we're at. Yeah.
And that's why I think it's better to take at least two cars. Because if something does happen, you get a bad dice roll, someone hits you, you still got that other cards that you can hopefully
keep doing something.
You're not just sitting there for 15, 20 minutes waiting for that phase to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've covered the base of the game. Like, really, that's the basics of the game. It's not crazy. But we're going to do the complex discussion now, which is vehicle and obstacle collision. So this is something that happens a lot, as it turns out. You hit other cars, or you hit rocks, or barricades, or whatever. So when your car, when you place your template, if your template ever touches something or goes over something, you hit it. If at the end of your move, you move your car at the end of your template, or on the way to its end of the template, it hits something, you hit it. It's a collision. And you have two choices to make. You can either choose to smash that vehicle or try and evade the collision to not get damaged. An obstacle automatically hits you. So if you, and I guess I didn't say, the other person that you hit also has the choice to do the smash attack or an evade. So they can try and avoid damage. If you both choose evade, you don't even need to roll dice. You guys just avoid each other. If one of you chooses smash, then we're going to have to roll attack dice and evade dice. an obstacle automatically chooses a smash. So the number of dice you roll, though, that depends on a lot of different things. So it's usually involves your gear and then the weight of your car. So like the cars come in a couple different classes. There's lightweight, middleweight, heavyweight. And then also it depends on the facing that the object is being hit. So if your car's heavier, you get extra dice. If you're lighter, you get less dice. And then just like shooting, a 4+ is a hit, a 6 is a critical hit, that's 2 hits. You suffer the damage inflicted. If you evade it, again, you need 6s to cancel that damage, just like in shooting. And when you evade, again, just like shooting, you roll dice equal to your current gear. So it doesn't sound difficult, but we tend to find that it is the slowest part of the game because you have to start looking things up a little more. If you don't remember, you know, and we're not, like almost every time we hit something, we kind of have to flip the book open real quick to look at the charts. Like, okay, a buggy hit a car. Well, the buggy's light, so it loses a dice. And then you go, well, but it's T-boning it, so it's my gear, period, you know, so I'm in gear 5, but I lose dice, I'm at 4. And then the other person's like, well, I'm trying to evade, or, you know. So we almost always end up having to look things up, but it's not a huge deal. And the more we play it, I'm sure the more you play it, the easier it becomes to remember all that stuff, and the less looking up you'll have to do, and the faster the game will go.
It's published by Osprey Games, but the actual website is gaslands.com. And they actually have all kinds of stuff you can print out there, including a cheat sheet, which has pretty much all this information on it of what happens when you hit it, how you hit it, you know, with your weight. And so it makes it a bit quicker to look up that way as well. I've found in my past couple games. But I guess something else we should say is that when you actually hit someone or shoot someone, it does hold damage. Hold damage is basically your life. It's how much damage your car can take. And so depending on the car, you know, a buggy has less than a pickup truck does. So that's when we're saying that you take damage. That's what we're talking about.
Yep. And if you run out of damage, you wreck, you die, your vehicle now is on the board and it is an obstacle, unless that is you explode. So at the point at which you lose your last health, you make an explosion check. You roll a D6 and you add the number of ammo if you have any ammo on board. And some of the guns and weapons of the game have ammo. So you roll a dice and you add the number of ammo. So if I roll a 3 and I have 3 ammo, that's a 6, I explode. If I explode, you're going to have to look up another chart here. Every vehicle within a medium distance of you, which is about 4 inches, like we said earlier, suffers attack dice depending on what you are. I think lightweight is like 2 dice, and medium's 3, and a heavy's 4, I think. So even if you explode, you can do some damage on your way out. And after you explode, if you explode, your vehicle is removed from the game and it's gone.
Yeah, it's 2, 4, 6 is the damage that it does based on weight.
So if you've listened this far, now you know how to play Gaslands. Like, really, truly, that's one of the things that impressed us was the simplicity of it. It's really not complicated. It kind of sounds like it, and when you read the book is 60 pages, but only about half of its rules. And then the other 30 pages is scenarios and weird stuff and sponsorships and things like that. So the base game is actually pretty simple.
Yeah, I mean, it is it's a pretty good beer and pretzels game. I mean, once you play it once, you pretty much got all the basics down.
Yeah. So now that we've gone over that, let's talk about vehicles. Because let's face it, the whole appeal of this game is the fact that you're buying Hot Wheels cars. Like, there's a Facebook group for Gaslands, and I swear every day I see at least one person like, oh, went to the grocery store and bought like $50 worth of cars, couldn't stop myself. It's ludicrous how much money people are blowing on Hot Wheels cars.
Yeah, it's hysterical. And you have the other ones that are like, I just bought these 10 cars. Can't wait to get the book here soon, and I'm ready to play. People are buying all these cars before they even played it.
Yeah.
So it's just something about buying those Hot Wheels. You're just being a big kid, and so it's part of the fun.
It's pretty nuts. So we're going to go over vehicles real quick. Let's see. We have the bike. And then it's a lightweight, has 4 health, 5 dice, max gear is 6. You get 1 build slot, and build slots is how you get your options, your guns and things, which we'll talk about later. It's a motorcycle, so you have a crew of 1 dude, costs 5 points, 5 cans, 5 gas cans. The next lightweight is a group of things, so you have your buggies, your dirt buggies, you know, trikes, the 3-wheel bikes, or motorcycles and sidecars. Also lightweight, you get 2 extra hull points for 6, four handling, still max gear six. You get two build slots. That's kind of the big deal, and two crew. And same cost as a motorcycle. So at the same cost, you know, the only thing you lose is a handling. You gain hull, you gain build slots, and you gain crew. So it just kind of depends on how you want to run your list, you know. And then you go up to your middleweights. The next class is a car / Jeep. 10 health, 3 handling, 5 gear, 2 slots, 2 crew, 12 points. You get your race / performance car. It has a little less health at 8. Better handling than a regular car goes from 3 to 4. Higher gear goes from 5 to 6. Still 2 build slots, but the race car only has 1 crew member. It has the guy driving it, and that is it. And he's more expensive. He costs 15 points. And then the last middleweight is the pickup truck / van / tractor. I don't know who is racing a tractor or how you grew up on a farm. Can tractors go as fast as a pickup truck or a van?
Not stock, but I'm sure you could soup it up a little bit.
I'm just like, okay. So anyway, they get 12 health, 2 handling. So the handling is really low on these guys. And your max gear is a 4, so, you know, I don't know. It's a trade-off. You get a bunch of health, but a lower gear, lower handling. You do get 3 build slots, so you get to put even more stuff on it. And you get 3 crew at 15 points. So the same cost as a race car. It's just tougher and has more dudes and more build spots. You want to cover the heavyweights?
Yeah, just regarding the pickup truck, van, and tractor, there are other scenarios other than just the race. Like, there's a demolition derby. And so the pickup truck kind of shines there,
yeah,
because it's got the health, and you don't really need to go super fast in the demo derby. So that's kind of where it shines. So there are uses for everything. Don't think that it's just a race, but pickup may not be the best for the race.
No, not at all.
All right. So as far as heavyweights go, we got 6 options here. So the first one is a lot of people's favorite is the monster truck. So it's got 10 hull points. Only 3 handling, max gear 4, and then 2 build slots, 2 crew, and it is 25 points. It's pretty neat. It gets to run over things. It's a monster truck. Next, we got the bus / coach. It has 16 hull points, 2 handling, only a max gear of 3, has 3 build slots, though, and has 8 crew. It is 30 points. So even if you don't put 3 weapons on it, you still got 8 dudes with pistols, so that can mess someone up if you get close enough.
I want to try the bus so bad.
These last 4 get a little bit complicated, so I won't go into many specifics. I'll just give you the basic stats. There's the war rig, which is basically a semi-truck. It has 20 hull points, 2 handling, 4 max gear, 5 build slots, and then 5 crew, and it is 40 points. Next one is a gyrocopter. I guess technically it is a middleweight. So it's 4 hull points, 4 handling, 6 max gear, 0 build slots, and 1 crew. And it is only 10 points. Next is the helicopter. I should say the next 2 are the helicopter and a tank. They can only be taken under certain circumstances that we'll get into later when we start picking sponsors. We start going over those. So the helicopter, hull points 8, handling 3, max gear 4, build slots 4, crew 2, it is 30 points. And then the tank, it has 20 hull points. It is handling 4, max gear 3, build slots 4, crew 3, and it is 40 points. So that is your vehicles. There is, 11 different options there? Pretty good variety.
Agreed. It is pretty cool. So I just want to go over, 2 or 3 quick bits. So the monster truck, like you said, you can run over people. Basically what happens here is if the monster truck runs into something, another car, a rock, something like that, even though it collides with it and you do your smash and evade attack, and we might not have said this earlier, when you hit something, that ends your move. A monster truck is a monster truck. So if it hits another car, it finishes its move. Like, it will finish and get to the end of its template, whether it wants to or not. You just run over them and still do the attack and everything. The helicopters, gyrocopter and helicopter, you know, like you said, the helicopter along with the tank can only be taken by a certain sponsor. But in scenarios like the Death Race specifically, and I'm not 100% sure about the other scenarios because we haven't played them all, you can't win the race with a gyrocopter or a helicopter. It has to be a wheeled vehicle that crosses the finish line and goes through all the gates. So that's something to think about. Like Ryan said earlier, there are different scenarios, and not every vehicle is good for every scenario. So when you're building a team, you might like that helicopter because in Demolition Derby, he can fly around and smash things. But if you do Death Race, he's going to do you absolutely no good as far as winning the race is concerned. But moving on from that, let's go to the weapons options. So I'm just going to run down the names. You got your handguns, your machine guns, your heavy machine guns, mini guns, the 125mm cannon, which is a tank gun, rockets, flamethrowers, a mortar, grenades, Molotov cocktails, oil slick drops, caltrop drops, glue drops, mine drops, smokescreen. You've got your ram, your exploding ram, and then you get into weird crap. So whereas like the helicopter and tank can only be taken by a certain sponsorship, the four weapons here can only be taken by another sponsor. It's the thumper, the arc lightning projector, a kinetic booster, and a magnetic jammer. They're weird shooting attacks. They're really specific to one specific team. Each one of these has a certain number of build slots, so your handguns are free. Everybody has a handgun. Machine guns all take one. Minigun takes one slot. Things like the tank cannon take three slots. Rockets, flamethrowers is two slots. And then pretty much everything else is one slot until you get down to those weird electric ones that we talked about. Most of these come with ammo. In fact, I think all of them except the machine guns and the minigun come with ammo. And it's anywhere from one ammo to five ammo. And then there's a bevy of other special rules. Generally, what you see a lot, certainly what we've been taking, are machine guns, mini guns, and Dave really has a thing for a flamethrower because it's 6d6 damage. And then Austin really likes the idea of the tank gun, and he put it on a buggy, which you're not allowed to do, and we didn't realize that, and it doesn't matter because I think he only ever shot the damn thing once. But when you do shoot it, it's 8 dice. Which, I mean, if you get a bus full of people with handguns right up next to someone, that's 8 dice. So, you know, little give, little take, I guess.
And then just to add, like, for the droppers, for the oil slick, the caltrop, the glue, things like that, the mines, they actually have templates. They're just like the movement templates, but these are weapon templates that you just drop on the ground based on where your car drops it, and it just stays there until it's triggered. So it's pretty neat. You know, there's no real range to it. You just, for example, drop it behind your car as you're speeding on, and now there's some caltrops behind you.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. The next bit that you can buy is called upgrades. Now, these are ridiculously expensive, and so none of us have taken any of them except for the armor plate. So you can put a weapon on a turret mount, and I guess we didn't say this earlier. When you buy any of these weapons other than the handgun, you have to give it a facing, as either be forward-facing, rear-facing, or left or right side-facing. If you pay three times the cost of the weapon, it gets a turret mount. So a light machine gun, which has a cost of 2, if you pay 6 points for it, it is now a turret weapon, which is super-duper expensive for a crappy 2-dice machine gun. But there are reasons to do it. Like if you, I don't know, I guess if you really want to blow the points, if Dave really wanted to blow the points, he could pay 18 points and put his flamethrower on a turret. That's super duper expensive, but whatever. The next one is a nitro booster, which does exactly what you think it would. You get to use it one time. Your dude automatically goes like a long straight, which I think is like 10 inches or something. But you immediately go up to 5 hazard tokens too. and that's before you actually do your maneuver. So at the beginning of your activation, you go, this car's going to throw nitro. He moves 10 inches, gets 5 hazards, and then you pick your maneuver template and do your dice rolls. So it's, you get a big boost, but the chances of you wiping out are ludicrously high. You've got armor plating, which this is the one that we've taken a lot, me and you especially. You put it on a buggy, And he goes from 4 health to 6 health, or 6 health to 8 health. I can't remember. Because you get plus 2 health points. It's 4 points, so it's not super duper expensive. But it's really nice for the buggies. It brings them up to that kind of survivable, regular car level almost. It gets them pretty close to the points, too. It's, you know, brings a buggy from 5 to 9. Regular car's 12 points, so it's getting there. You can buy tank tracks, which lowers your max gear. So if you're a car, your max gear is 5, goes down to a 4. But you get plus 1 handling, so you get an extra dice. And then you can, it's got some special rules about driving over rough terrain and stuff. Or you can buy extra crew members, and you can buy an extra crew member up to twice the vehicle's starting crew. So you could buy a second guy for that race car. But every guy you buy is 4 extra points, which is really, really expensive. To me, I think. It might be entertaining to see a bus, and if you, I mean, God, it would be super duper expensive, but if you doubled that thing up and had 16 guys on it and got within short range, just 16 handgun shots, that would be super tasty.
Yeah, I'm going to have to add that up later and see what that would actually be.
A lot.
Yeah, too much.
32 points. Plus the bus itself is, what, 30?
Yeah.
So 62 total points. Yeah, it's really, really expensive, but it would be super entertaining just to be like, all right, I'm right next to you. 16 guys open their windows and stick their handguns out and just 16 dice. You're probably going to die. So those are the weapons. We like them a lot. And we're going to kind of, let's go ahead and go over the vehicle types. So, you know, we were talking about the different ways the vehicles work and the different things they can do and why you might want them because of different scenarios. A lot of vehicles have different special rules, and this is why you might consider taking them. So bikes, motorcycles, they have 2 special rules. One's called full throttle. The big deal about this one is the long straight template, which is like 10 inches, is permitted in any gear, and it is not hazardous or trivial. Hazardous and trivial. So sometimes if you're moving, so let's say you start the game and you're in gear 1, you can do a medium template. And in gear 1, it is what's called trivial. You get a free shift. You know, I might roll 4 skid dice, but I've automatically got a free shift. And if it's hazardous, I'll automatically get a hazardous thing. That long template, usually you can only use it in 5th or 6th gear. The motorcycle can use it in any gear. Usually it's always hazardous. For the bikes, it is neither hazardous or trivial. So that's pretty cool. But on the other hand, bikes have almost no health, and if somebody gets a lucky shot at you, you're dead. Also, you have a rule called pivot. At the start of your activation, if you're in first gear, you can automatically turn to face any direction you want as long as you don't hit something. So those are both pretty cool rules. The buggy has a roll cage. So Ryan talked earlier, we talked about at the end of the gear phase, if you wipe out and you test to flip. If you flip, you suffer 2 damage. The buggies have roll cages. They don't suffer the 2 damage when they flip over. Cars, pickup trucks, buses, coaches, they don't have any special rules. Nothing fancy. Ryan, you just used this on us the other night. You want to go over the performance cars rule?
Yeah, performance cars got a rule called slip away. So if your performance car is targeted with a tailgate, T-bone, or sideswipe smash attack, and the performance car declares an evade as a reaction, so it doesn't try to damage back, it gets to do a free activation immediately after the vehicle completes its after the attacking vehicle completes its activation. So this is a completely free activation and doesn't count as the performance car's activation this turn as well, or this phase. So you pretty much get a free move. So you can, you know, shoot that medium forward, and then you get to go again when it comes back around to your normal turn. And the good thing about it is that it is, you can do it yourself. Like, it doesn't matter who hits you. Like, I can take my car, hit my performance car, and it can then shoot forward. And so it can get out of people's way, try to jump out ahead in the race. So it's a pretty cool little ability. You just got to worry, because you do get the 2 hazards for doing it. You could take some damage depending on how, or I guess when it's done in the game, what the gears are, things like that. But pretty handy, especially if someone's trying to pin you in. You just, you know, peace out and keep moving.
Yeah, so Ryan got sneaky on us last game we played and had his buggy right behind his performance car, and his performance car was in front. His first activation, he uses the buggy to hit his performance car, which then takes his free medium. And then he activates performance car and does another, you know, so it was a nice little start boost. We stayed pretty even with you for a while, but Ryan did end up winning that game with that specific car. So something to be said for it.
What it does is in the gate and the race, you got to go through specific gates in an order. And if you don't get out ahead, it gets very congested when all the cars get to that gate. And so I was able to get through it first, kind of get out of the way. And then the rest of the guys got clogged up, basically bottlenecked, and started running into each other and wiping out. And so it does give you a nice little kickstart.
It does. So there's the monster truck, which we already talked about. It gets the crush thing where if it hits you, it just finishes its move. There's a whole section, like two pages, on the war rigs rules. We're not going to go over those. Helicopters and gyrocopters have a couple rules. One's called Airwolf. At the beginning of your activation, you can pivot up to 90 degrees, regardless of the gear you're in. You ignore obstructions, drop weapons, and all terrain, because you're flying, duh. And you can't be involved in you can't be involved in collisions. Like, no one can run into you. You're up in the air, obviously. It has a rule called bombs away. So when you buy dropped weapons, it doesn't cost you any build slots, which... most drop weapons are only one build slot anyway. In fact, I think they're all build slots. Some of them actually are zero build slots, but they're all zero build slots for the helicopters, which is cool. We haven't played with helicopters yet. I'm sure we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, like I said, we've only played, I guess I've played the most. I think I've played like 5 games. You guys have played 4. So, I mean, we're not real pros yet. We're still getting the hang of things.
Yeah, not at all. tanks. Tanks have tracks. They can pivot. If you're in first gear, you can pivot any direction before you move, as long as you don't hit somebody. And then they get the crush attack, just like the monster truck. If they run over something, they can finish their move anyway. And then, we didn't talk about terrain, but you can classify some terrain as treacherous terrain. So if there's, I don't know, a giant radioactive pool of water or a really rocky slope or something, when you drive over that, you would get a hazard, but tank tracks let you ignore that. So that is kind of the special rules for the vehicle. So as you can see, like, there's definitely advantages to everything. You know, Ryan used the slip-away rule to get out ahead. Our buddy Austin likes to use the monster trucks. He likes to drive over the tops of people. Mostly, me and Dave have just stuck to cars, buggies, and regular trucks. Dave is obsessed with that flamethrower. I really like the Ram, but it does tend to slow things down, so I haven't actually... I've tried to avoid hitting people. That doesn't mean I haven't hit people, because that happens a lot. You know, the rule being the second you touch a template, you have to use it. And so, you know, you grab a template and go, oh, I'm going to hit him. And you didn't intend it that way, but that's just how it works out for you.
All right. Well, anything else you want to hit on before we move on?
I mean, we could go over all the weapons, but I think that's kind of a bit much.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot. There's some cool stuff. I mean, machine guns are guns. You know, they shoot machines or bullets and just do damage. Some of the stuff, like the flamethrower and Molotov cocktails, set you on fire. The Rams are just particularly brutal, you know. I mean, that's really kind of it. You get into the weird electrical upgrade, or the electrical ones. Like, one of the electrical ones, when it hits somebody, it also hits every other car within short distance of that, because it's throwing lightning, basically. So... there's some pretty cool things. We highly recommend it. So let's go. I guess we should talk about the sponsor, because that adds a lot of flavor to the game. Now, we haven't used sponsors, but this is what really attracts people to parts of the game, you know, is the whole sponsor thing. So there are, what, one? There's 5 sponsors, I think, or is it 4? I think it's 5.
6.
6? God, I'm wrong on that. All right, so let's go through the sponsors real quick. There's Team Rutherford, and they're like the Brotherhood of Steel from Fallout. They are the military guys. They get all the military hardwares. They're the only ones who can buy a regular helicopter and a tank, and you can only buy a single tank. Their bonuses, every team comes with like its own bonuses. They have well-stocked. Anything with ammo 3 suddenly has ammo 4. They have a rule called Might is Right. They don't believe in lightweight vehicles. You can't take bikes, trikes, buggies. And then they have one called Televised Carnage. So the whole idea behind Gaslands, I don't think we covered the background, is you're on a game show, basically. It is televised. It is a death race. And the promise is the guys who win Gaslands, the game show, get to go to Mars, and Mars is like the promised land. Mars is a lie. It's always a lie. But that's the premise behind it. And in some of the scenarios, you get what are called audience votes. The audience gets to vote on how awesome you are as far as Carnage is concerned. Well, for Team Rutherford, if you cause six or more hits in a single attack before the other person evades, you get an extra point. You win, if you're playing a season or a campaign, the first person to 15 points wins or something like that. So then there's Team Miyazaki. These are, I guess this would be like a Tokyo Drift, you know? So you get the perks here are Virtuoso. The first time you use a push it activation, you don't get a hazard token. We didn't talk about push it, did we?
Nope.
Talk about push it.
Push it is just a reroll, basically. It's if you roll the skid dice and you don't like it, you can do what's called a push it. You take one hazard and you can reroll any of the dice. You don't have to reroll all of them. You don't get to reroll necessarily just one. If you rolled three dice and you want to roll two, you can. It's your choice of how many you get to reroll, but you can only do it once. You can only reroll once and only take one push it for that gear phase.
Yarp. All right, and then they have a one called Evasive Maneuvers. Before you make an evade roll, you can gain hazard tokens to give you plus one dice, or plus one to your dice. So if I automatically take two hazard tokens, I get to add two. So then I would be evading on fours instead of sixes, which is kind of a big deal. And then there's one called Elegance. Miyazaki teams can't buy pickup trucks, buses, war rigs, or anything fancy like that. Like, they stick to cars, buggies, and bikes and things. And then the final one is Showing Off. Once per gear phase, if all of the vehicles activated, you can resolve one uncanceled spin result. Jesus is confusingly worded.
Yeah.
Once per gear. Yeah. Moving along, pocket.
Yeah.
You want to cover Mishkin and Idris?
Sure. Mishkin are the electrical guys. You're talking about those four weapons that had to have a specific sponsor. They're all electrical to take. This is Mishkin. So they have a rule called Thumper Monkey, which is this team may purchase electrical weapons and upgrades, the weapons we were talking about. Next one would be Dynamo. After activating in gear phase 4, 5, or 6, this vehicle may add one ammo token to a single electronical weapon or upgrade on that vehicle. So you're recharging yourself. And then the last one is All the Toys. Whenever a vehicle in this team attacks with a named weapon that has not been attacked with by any vehicle during this game yet, the team gains plus one audience vote. All right. The next one is Idris. They are the speed freaks. They want to go fast. So their first ability is the N2O addict, so the nitrous addict. So this team may purchase the nitro upgrade at half the listed costs. Next one is Speed Demon. When using Nitro, vehicles in this team only gain hazard tokens until they have three hazard tokens after each of the two activations rather than the normal five. Cult of Speed, if a vehicle in this team selects the long straight maneuver template in movement step 1-1 during the gear phase 1, 2, or 3, the team gets one audience vote. And Kiss My Asphalt, this team may not purchase gyrocopters.
So the last two teams are Team Slime. They have the following. They have Live Fast. A vehicle in the team begins the wipeout step with more hazards than it has hull points. You get a vote. So they are insane, basically. And then the next rule and the last rule for these guys is called Pinball. If you're involved in a sideswipe smash attack during your activation, you can immediately resolve another movement step with the vehicle after the current movement step. So you basically, if you manage to sideswipe someone, you bounce off of them and get a second move. So these guys, two of the maneuver templates, one of them's called Swerve, one of them's called Veer. You kind of go sideways forward, and so I could see them doing, you know, they go sideways forward, manage to hit you in the side, and then they go sideways forward the other direction. So you're getting some extra inches in there. And the final team is, this one has a lot of popularity on the Facebook page, the Wardens. These are basically all the prisoners that are just thrown in cars. And I think this was the plot of the 2010 Death Race movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Prisoners. So vehicles in this team can purchase the following upgrade. It's a new upgrade that's not available to anyone else. You can do prison cars. reduce the cost of the car you're buying by 4, so a buggy would go from 5 to 1. You lose 2 health on the car, so bleh. And you can only be purchased on middleway vehicles, so you can't do the buggy for 1 point, but you can do a car goes from 12 to 8, which is pretty awesome. And then it has a rule called fireworks. If a vehicle belonging to the team explodes, you get plus 1 vote if it was middleweight, or plus 2 votes if it was heavyweight, in addition to any other votes you gain. And then, of course, you explode. So, that's
so
that.
A lot of customization there. It even goes further for what's called driver perks. We'll just hit those real quick. So, you got aggression, badass, military, precision, daring, and speed.
And technology.
And did I miss technology's on the next page. And so, depending on what sponsor you take, like Rutherford, the military guys can take badass and military. So there are different skills that you can give your drivers that cost cans as well. So, like, for just an example of one here for the military is return fire, costs 5 cans. It says once per gear phase, if this vehicle is the target of a shooting attack, this vehicle may take 2 hazard tokens to immediately attack as if it was this vehicle's attack step. Just something that can add, you can go ahead, but I was just saying, just something that can add further customization to your team.
Yeah, these are kind of like your skill ups, you know. You have to pay for them in this game. You don't just earn them randomly as you level up or something. You have to buy them. But, I mean, that's really what it is. It's just that further customization, you know. Like you said, one of the ones that is really awesome and available to only two, you get Idris or Team Slime, the guys that like to go fast. They get the speed skills, and one of the skills for them is called Hot Start. It only costs 1 point. You roll a D6 at the start of the game, and you start in that gear. Holy crap, that's amazing. Like, because part of the game is you start in gear phase 1, and you activate every gear phase that you're in that gear. But every time you shift up or down, you take a hazard token. And then you roll dice, and you end up with more hazard tokens. And it's just kind of hard to do that balance without wiping out. Well, if you get a lucky die roll and you roll a 4, 5, or a 6, like, your car's moving immediately and you don't have to roll any dice to shift up. Now, if you roll a 6, that's bad, because in 6th gear, I think you can only do the long straight, which is like 10 inches, which if you're not in the front row, you're going to hit whatever the hell's in front of you for sure. But
yeah, I was about to say, you got to be careful. It could be a curse as well, but yeah. It is, for one can, it is very cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you roll like a 3 or a 4, you're in like Flynn for a couple rounds. Like, that's pretty awesome for a point. So, yeah,
absolutely.
The last thing I thought we should probably go over is the scenarios. Now, we haven't played all the scenarios, but I think it behooves us to talk about it. So the basic scenario is called the death race. You put up 4 gates. One of them is the starting line, and these gates, you have to drive through them in order. And then the first person to cross the finish line is the winner. I mean, that's pretty basic as it gets, you know. It is the scenario C. If you look up battle reports for Gaslands on YouTube, it is the one you will see the most often. And it is the one that we have probably played the most. But I don't think it's the best one. It just happens to be the one that everyone defaults to because it is the base scenario in the rules.
Really? I like it.
I don't know. So the next scenario is called Saturday Night Live. We didn't talk a lot about audience votes in this because we haven't been playing with them literally at all yet. So audience votes, like I said, I think it was when you get to 15 points, you win. But you can do things during the game, like you can spend audience votes to give someone else hazard tokens, or you can spend audience votes to respawn one of your dead cars, or you can spend them to give you a free shift or something like, you know, things like that. It's what audience votes are for, and we haven't used any of them. Saturday Night Live is basically a demolition derby, but there's all these special conditions. So normally you get a vote for wrecking another car or wrecking your own car or making a car explode, things like that. There's actually only a couple ways you earn points, and those are them. And then, you know, like we were reading the sponsors a minute ago, sponsors have special rules to get you more votes. Saturday Night Live has these prizes that you roll for every gear phase, and then they'll have different conditions, like the person who controls the active vehicle gets an extra audience vote. The person who controls the active vehicle and selects a hazardous maneuver will get an extra audience vote. And every time someone gets one, you roll up a new one. So there's just a lot of... This is the one that really, like, brings the whole audience voting thing into the game. We haven't played it. Like I said, we haven't used the audience votes. You want to cover Arena of Death? And yeah. then the one after that, what is it? Monster Truck, I think? Or no, Zombies.
Bash. Yeah. All right, so first one's Arena of Death. That's the Demolition Derby.
Yeah, baby.
So it's... I mean, it is what it says. You know, everyone starts on kind of a side of a board, and I guess we should say that the board is a 4x4 board is generally what they recommend to play on. So everyone just, you know, takes a deployment, and you just want to be the last man standing. For this one, they do add in gun turrets. So when you start, you roll 2d6, and you add that many gun turrets out onto the battlefield, and they will shoot any car that comes within range of it. So... Even if you're just trying to avoid, you know, you still got those turrets you got to worry about.
And I do want to say, I really like this specifically because we talked a little bit earlier about how if you have a bad run, you could have some downtime. Like if you stop at gear phase 2 and then there's 3 or 4 more gear phases that could be going, you might not be doing anything. Now, I think the rules actually say, like, the person to the left is always the one who does the spins on the wipeouts or rolls the dice for the gun turrets, blah, blah, blah. But if there's one guy sitting out who's not doing anything, he's the one rolling for the gun turrets for us. Like, keeping everybody involved in the game and going, like, I might not, you know, I might not be the guy in the car shooting you, but if I'm rolling for the turrets, it still gets me, you know, yeah, all right, I got you. Keeps you in.
Yeah, it is definitely good for that. I agree. It definitely keeps you in. Immersed in the game doing something other than just sitting there. But then the second one that I was going to talk about is the Zombie Bash. It is what it says on the tin. You set up zombies, little model zombies out on the field or something to represent them. It says that there should be more than 10 zombies per player. And then the goal is to run into them. Just run over them. You don't shoot them. You have to actually collide with them. And then you get them. And whoever has the most at the end wins. There are things like if a vehicle is wrecked, then they put 5 more zombies back out there. So there is a chance to take out other players, capture some of their zombies. So it's pretty neat, though, and we haven't played it yet, but I think that's probably one of the next ones that we will try.
Yeah, buddy. Looking forward to that. So there was a really, I mean, it was not a great board game called Zombies. I don't remember who published the game, but we bought it ages ago. I think you and I both owned it at some point. I don't know if you still have yours.
It was a good game.
It was an okay game. but the point is, it has little zombie guys that are about the right size. And God, I think it has like 50 or 60 of them in there. So, yeah, we're going to get that out one of these nights and just dump them all over the board because I really want to play this.
Yeah, that one's fun because you're not only just trying to kill your opponent, there's also objectives you want to do as well. So that adds that additional little flavor to it.
So I'll cover the next one. This is Monster Truck Smash. This is one that Dave really wants to try out. So this is basically, I don't know, duck, duck, goose, or tag. So
it's a combination of basically tag and capture the flag, really.
Yeah, I could see that. So at the beginning of the game, everybody rolls off. One person who wins the roll becomes the monster truck. And there's one monster truck who starts in the middle of the board. And everybody else has their mice, these little cars. And then everybody puts, everybody puts, like, I think it's 2 flags out near kind of the center of the board near the monster truck. And then your job is basically to go get these flags, and the first person to get both their flags, I think it's the first person to get both their flags wins. But I'm probably wrong on that. Nope, the game ends when all the flag markers have been collected, or when one player has collected 2/3 of the flag. So you're trying to grab every flag.
Or the monster truck gets wrecked.
Or the monster truck dies, which could totally happen. But every time the monster truck causes a damage to one of the small cars, that car is destroyed and immediately removed from play. At the start of each turn, a vehicle that has been removed from play that way can be respawned for free, touching a table. So they keep coming back. It's not like you're out of the game. But the point is, like, get the flags and somehow avoid the monster truck, which sounds cool. Like, I get it. Sounds fun. Dave's super stoked about playing that one at some point. You want to cover the last scenario? This is capture the flag?
Yeah. This one is, again, just capture the flag. Pretty simple. After deployment, Each player deploys a single flag marker exactly one short straight in front of the first vehicle they deployed. And then when a vehicle moves over that template using a, or over the flag using a template, or its final position touches the flag, they pick it up. And then when a vehicle is wrecked, the vehicle's owner must place the flag marker touching the wreck, and then you can go and pick up someone else's flag. You can also drop flags at any time, but the game ends is when a player touches his or her own table edge with a vehicle that is carrying the flag marker of an opponent. So, got to get someone else's flag, bring it back to your table edge. Pretty simple. Well, sounds simple. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, much harder than you'd think, I imagine. Yeah. So, that's pretty much all we're going to cover for the game. There's a, like we said, there's like a 2 or 3 page section on big rigs. War rigs, they are super hard to drive, is basically what we've gotten from that. There's a rule on seasons, like running a campaign, and basically what that says is, you know, everybody builds their team, and then they suggest either playing just like through every scenario with that team, or doing what's an escalating season, which is you build your team, and then every scenario you get like an extra 10 cans to upgrade teams or buy new cars. So maybe you start your team with, you know, 40 cans, so you save 10 away, and then in scenario 2 that you play, you've got another 10 cans. So, well, now you've got 20 cans. Well, now you can buy another car, or, you know, so you're trying to basically get your team and upgrade them and everything. And then that's kind of it. There's a page in the very back where it talks about organized play and racetrack layouts and things like that. Now, basically they direct you to go to the Gaslands.com website, and they say, hey, look at the layouts and things that we put there. It's kind of interesting. I have seen, it talks here about changing the scale. It says, you know, this is standard toy cars, is roughly 20 millimeters. The long straight is roughly 18 centimeters, blah, blah, blah. We play on a 4x4 table. But I have seen people talking about upping the templates and playing with like 40K vehicles, which would be kind of neat. I don't know. Like, the vehicles would look awesome, but I think you'd probably lose a little bit of the appeal of this game being as cheap as it is. Like, if you're buying 40K vehicles and using them for this, as cool as it would look, now instead of paying $25 and you're in the game, you're paying like $80 to get one tank.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, if you already have them, you know, if you're in a big 40K community, that's one thing, but I can't see someone just doing it just because they want to and buying in with any sort of Games Workshop expensiveness.
Agreed. So, yeah, that's it. That's Gaslands, man. We have really been enjoying it.
You know. Yeah, I'm loving it. The only thing that I would recommend here is definitely, if you're interested at all, check out Gaslands.com. I mean, it's got everything you're going to need. I mean, it's Gaslands.com. It's easy to remember. I mean, it's got stuff you can download. You know, you can print out labels for your own skid dice. You can print out color dashboards and stuff to keep track of your cars. It's got videos on there. Like, they link to YouTube videos to show you tactics and playtest videos. Even has old school forums in there. You know, you don't see it a whole lot with social media, you know, Facebook and whatnot, but there is some old school forums in there that is fairly active. I check it every now and then. So they got a lot of cool pictures, some tactics in there. So definitely, if you got time, check out that website.
So, yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it. I don't know what we're going to talk about next month. Probably Gaslands again. depends on what we play between now and then. But that's all we've got. So, yeah, thanks for listening, guys. And come back next month.
Take care, guys.